My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Tell me.
Brock Purdy leads the NFL in aggressive throw percentage.
AGP.
AGP. AGG.
ATP.
AGG.
Aggressive throw percentage. ATP. I apologize.
They call it AGG. I don't know why.
Fine.
Aggressive. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
Thank you.
I don't know.
Are you down with AGG?
you know me. Now, here's what it is. His AGG is 24.6. AGG percentage, so that we can define it for the people, tracks the percentage of passing attempts thrown into coverage where defender is within 1 yard or less of the receiver. So more than any player in the NFL, Brock throws at receivers where there's a defender a yard or less away.
Okay.
Okay. Also important. Among the top 8 quarterbacks in AGG, Brock Purdy has both the highest QB rating and the highest completion percentage. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It's a good thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing because you've got a team that right now, through 2 games, has not had a ton of open receivers, yet you have a quarterback who feels confident enough to make these throws into tight windows. And I'm thinking about the 4th down play from Sunday when he threw it to Juwan Jennings and there was not one, not two, but 3 defenders within a yard, maybe 2 within a yard and a 3rd that was hovering in the area. And it was shoop. He threaded that thing in there beautifully. So as long as he doesn't have the most interceptions and also has the most aggressive throws, then it's a problem. But if the interceptions are down, then it's a good thing.
Well, I could take all kinds of things out of this. Here's the good. Like, that means Brock is aggressive. That means Brock is accurate. Those are all good things. What are the bad things you take from it? Like, the first thing that pops into my mind is, why aren't people more open? Why aren't they open?
Yeah.
Like, is that a function of, well, Christian's not on the field, Brandon's not at full strength, Kyle's not scheming them open? My mind can go a bunch of different places. Why is Brock having to throw balls at everybody who's got somebody a yard away from him? Debatable.
A lot of it, yeah.
Debatable. I don't know. Well, I don't know yet.
Right now, only 2 quarterbacks have been sacked more than Brock Purdy.
Right. Largely, that's because of 1 game, though.
Yeah,
like
but
six of the 8 sacks. Like, yeah, he had a...
Gardner Minshew and Caleb Williams have been sacked more, 9 times apiece.
Yep.
So, yes, it is 1 game. You got sacked twice against the Jets and 6 times against Minnesota. And of those 6, Kyle would tell you that 3 of them were, yeah, they were sacks.
Dive downs.
They were dive downs, and he was trying to get back to the line of scrimmage. If he gets 1 more yard on 2 of them, they're not sacks. So not every sack is created equally. I get that, but I do think it's more of a byproduct of the first thing you said, which is guys just aren't getting open. You don't have McCaffrey, who is great in the pass game, out of the backfield, out of the slot, and out wide when he is out there. It's rare, but when he's out there, sure. And right now, Brandon Ayuk, although he was open a lot against Minnesota, and if you look at the All-22, there was three or four plays where he was open and the pass protection broke down and Brock couldn't get him the ball. But right now, Ayuk's having a hard time of separating. And I know that I think Steiny and Goo were throwing out the stat about his separation yards per route, which is about 1 yard per route, which is way down for him. So as Ayuk starts to get into midseason form, and right now he's played two preseason games. Unfortunately, those were both regular season games. But I think now, looking at Sunday, you can expect Brandon Ayuk to play more. He played 80% on Sunday. He'll play more snaps, and you can expect him to do more. This should be his breakout game.
Well, I mean, the same thing holds true for Brandon as it does for anybody else. If we're going to say, well, Brock Purdy, this is a lesser entity when Christian McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel are not on the field. Well, so is Brandon. If you're a defender on the Rams, who are you paying attention to on Sunday?
Yeah.
I don't need to worry about Deebo.
No.
I don't need to worry about Christian. I mean, sure, there are other people. Jennings is good. Kittle is good. Mason will come out of the backfield. Sure. So I'm not saying he's by himself out there, but he's the most talented route runner and pass catcher that's going to be on the field on Sunday. So he's going to have to do that without the normal attention that gets sent in other directions. It's a difficult task. David and El Cerrito here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, David. What's up?
How are you guys?
Good, David. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm well. Dibbs, you kind of threw me with your logic. I'm just not going to address it. I'm going to move forward to my point.
Yeah, I apologize for being so logical and so sensible, okay. David.
Wait a minute. What did he say, David? I want to know.
Well, his comments about maybe Brock Purdy is throwing it into guys who are covered so often because he's not seeing the guys who are open.
That's part of it, David, certainly. And it's hard to throw it to guys who are open when you don't have time to find the open receiver, David.
Wait, you said that, Dibs, or you're saying that, David? Are you saying that, David,
mocking me for the simplistic way with which I delivered that
point.
Wait a minute.
Is he mocking you or is he brocking you? Hang on now, David. Are you saying that Brock is throwing into coverage because he's not seeing the open people?
He might not be.
Okay.
And he also might also be seeing things late and therefore has to gun it in there later. I don't know the answer. I actually think the stat is useless to your original question of how useless is the stat.
David,
I don't know that we can make much of it.
I don't think it's useless, and that wasn't my question. No. I just asked if it was a good thing or a bad thing, because I think you could read it two ways.
I do want to make the quarterback point, though.
Go ahead.
The point that Schlera was making. I am a Daniel Jones fan.
Oh, God.
I am a Sam Darnold fan.
These are odd things to say.
I think Schlereth makes a very good point about Daniel Jones, about the things he does well. I think that teams are caught in a dated mindset about drafting a quarterback and thinking that guy is going to be there for 10 to 15 years. And the reason I think that is there are so many fewer quarterbacks coming out of college who are designed to be pocket passers. But the NFL only keeps those guys alive if they're pocket passers. Lamar is kind of rare. You had Cam Newton, who had a moment. He could have won a Super Bowl, but didn't, and then he fades. And you look at the Eagles, and they're like, they don't expect Jalen Hurts to be their quarterback for 10 to 12 years. They have him as a window. You have to now think to yourself, who can my quarterback be? Who can I get now coming out of college the way that they're developing them? Because there's just not enough guys who are going to last like a Manning or a Rodgers or a Breeze. There's just not that many available anymore because they're not developed in that way. So you have to find your quarterback, and you have to say, can he win in my system? The Steelers are like, can we take Justin Fields, and can he win in this system with this small window? Because we know he's not a guy for 10 years. And Schlereth is right. You have to develop quarterbacks to fit into what you have, and don't make them what they're not. Take what they have and try to win with them in those smaller windows.
I think you have some interesting points here, David, but can I ask a further question? Like, it sounds to me like you're almost assessing – at the time of the draft, whether or not this can be a 10-year player. And I would argue that that's a question for a different day. Like, some of them can, and you won't know that until you get them into your system. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, etc., Lamar Jackson, I think those are 10-year players. But that's not something you can assess right away. I do buy your point that the pick is not as simple as are you good or are you not. It's do you fit here, and I do think
right,
that
but
that's
Lamar,
right.
But Lamar wasn't drafted with the concept like they knew what he did well. He was that Lamar is lasting as long as he is doing what he does is really an anomaly. And you're starting to see kind of cracks in Lamar even this year. I mean, the first two games, like airmailing flowers in that one game, like this last game wasn't a great game for him. You're starting to see cracks in that style of play over time. So I think that when you're drafting quarterbacks, you can draft a guy and say, this guy's not going to be with me for 10 years. He might be with me for 5, but I only need him for 5 to win one title. And that's like the Jalen Hurts model, at least how I see it, because those guys aren't going to be built to last because they're not going to be in the pocket the whole time.
So are you suggesting the team should stop signing quarterbacks to the big mega second contract and sort of treat them like running backs?
I think some a long-term second contract. Some guys. I just don't think that they all are just because they come available. You look at Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins. They are not special players. They have never been special players. They never will be special players. They'll never win titles. But they are part of an old way of thinking about how a quarterback can last in a pocket, sitting in a pocket, delivering balls. And they get these massive contracts for years, but ultimately those guys just hold franchises back. There's definitely a Jalen Hurts that can take a franchise further for a shorter period of time. So it's like, what do you really want? I look at Brock and I'm like, look, this guy is pretty good. It's kind of like other guys, but is he a 10-year guy? Not the way I see it. And there's not that many of them. So I just feel like the model for which you draft quarterbacks and develop quarterbacks kind of has to change. Sometimes you're going to find that guy. I like Drake May. I love Drake May. I don't really love Caleb Williams. I love them for different reasons. Drake May is going to play for 12 to 15 years. I don't know how long Caleb's going to play for. He's going to get murdered out there. So I think there's an assessment of what you need, when you need it, but it's not the way that it was in the 90s.
David, thanks.
Interesting point.
It's an interesting call.
I think that for me, anyway, it comes down to coach and quarterback fit as much as it does the individual quarterback. And the Lamar Jackson question is fascinating because the talent is unbelievable. 2-time MVP, and he gets you to the playoffs almost every year. Is he the kind of quarterback who can win from the pocket in January? Well, so far he hasn't. He hasn't been great in the playoffs, and you can look at Dak Prescott. Similarly, a guy who's been unbelievable in the regular year but hasn't won in the playoffs. And so does that mean that Brock Purdy is, because he doesn't have the eye-popping skill, that he can't be a 10-year guy?
I feel like that conversation, while interesting, was also at too many points was broad brush. Like when you say, this needs to be the model. I don't know that there needs to be a model.
There is no model.
The model is, let's do this case by case. And I do think when you talk about Lamar and Brock and Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and all of these guys, I wonder, I don't think it'll necessarily go this way, but someday are we going to be looking at Mahomes like Jordan? I don't want to dismiss the careers of Patrick Ewing and Charles Barkley and Reggie Miller. I don't want to do that. They just happened to play at the same time as Jordan, so they never won the whole shebang. We may be looking at this like that, and that doesn't mean these players aren't good. And then you go down a rung, in my opinion, and get to the players he brought up who he said are like holding organizations back. Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins. I understand where you're coming from. This is sort of that vast wasteland that I don't know what you do if you're a team, where you're looking at your QB and you're going, yeah, probably not. Like Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, sure, they're all good examples. Like, they're probably not going to win a championship, but my God, looks a hell of a lot better than Bryce Young or your guy Daniel Jones, who you called in about. That was there were a few oddities there. You started with I'm a Daniel Jones fan and then ripped Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, who are, in my opinion, unequivocally better than Daniel Jones.
Right.
Derek Carr was once upon a time on track to be the MVP of the league, and then it's broke, happened,
yep.
And the Raiders suddenly were not in the playoffs anymore. So, like, you can have one-off seasons with those guys. Good things can happen, but what are you asking the team to do? That's why Dallas just gave Dak $60 million. You going to win it all? Probably not. But what do you want? what would you want him to do? Start Cooper Rush? What's their other option? They're relevant with these guys.
Exactly. And that to me becomes more of the bar than being a Super Bowl champion, because Josh Allen, he may never win a Super Bowl because, like you said, Reggie Miller, Charles Barkley, Allen happens to be in the AFC at the exact same time as Patrick Mahomes. And so that might be preventative of him winning a Super Bowl. Same thing for Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow as well. So it's not only about can they win a Super Bowl or not. Derek Carr becomes an interesting one, and it's definitely recency bias, but through 2 weeks, they are the talk of the town. That offense is the most explosive offense in football, and Derek Carr is the author of it. And Dennis Allen, the head coach who many people thought should have been run out of town last year, is now sitting on top of a 2-0 team with the hottest offense in football. So everything changes quickly, and if Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott, if they get their teams to the playoffs but don't win the Super Bowl, does that mean that they're not very good? Because only one quarterback wins the Super Bowl every year.
Well, exactly right. So no, it doesn't mean that.
So the other 31 quarterbacks are all replaceable because they didn't get it done?
Well, that's one thing that I wonder about. Like, he kept referring.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
To the model. And it's funny in sports. We love to look for that. The model. And I just don't know that there is one. Like, you can have a great model, and then there'll be an exceptional player that comes in and totally blows up your model, or it beats your model. Think about how often the model changes. Well, we have a great example right here. Remember when Colin Kaepernick joined the 49ers? And oh my God, the read option. Holy hell, gonna change the league. Took 2 years, and defensive coordinators went, check, got it, figured it out. Doesn't mean that you can't run it anymore. Doesn't mean that quarterbacks like him can't play. Doesn't mean that Colin Kaepernick can't play. We know that other story. But the point is that you have to always be evolving. And at any point, the bee's knees can change. Somebody can come in and just be like, nope, like we're going to do it this way. And Patrick Mahomes has done that. And now that's the model. And there's the standard. And so we compare everyone to Patrick Mahomes, which is sort of ridiculous because there aren't any other Patrick Mahomes. And so that's all. It's not like, look at baseball. Well, the Giants are going to go analytics. That's the model. Scratch that.
Yep.
We're doing something else. What is it? We don't know yet. Like, it's going to change. It changes every year.
Everything changes, especially in football. And you could look at any team And most teams run different offenses. Then you look at the 49ers, and there are about eight teams that run what the Niners try to run using a fullback and, you know, a run heavy set and all the rest of it. That, I think, is highlighting for me anyway how different football is, because different teams, based on their personnel and the head coach, they run offenses in a different fashion. So every quarterback has to be tailor-made for that particular scheme. And Brock Purdy, I think, for the Niners, is a great fit for what Kyle's trying to run.
Here is Baldy's breakdown of Brock Purdy's game on Sunday in Minnesota from the Morning Rose today.
Thought he was good. He's always good. I mean, those tough throws in the middle of the field are tough. I don't know how to describe it, Joe. He wasn't all world. And I think some people just think he's got to be all world. He misses McCaffrey in the passing game, for sure. There's no question about that. He's just such a difference maker on really easy throws, but in space where he does so much damage after, not to take anything away from Jordan. I think they do miss him. No, he didn't. He did deliver the knockout shots that, for example, that Sam did, you know, from the other side. I mean, the throw to Justin Jefferson and the throw to Naylor at the end. Like, he didn't deliver those type of knockout shots that you want him to be able to do.
It's funny. It's not the words, because if you wrote those down on a piece of paper, you'd have a different reaction to what Baldy said. Listen to the tone. Grandy, you can turn this off after his first four words. How did Brock do on Sunday?
Thought he was good. He's always good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's fine. And I say fine, and you come down my road.
Not on this one, I won't.
I know.
I think that's exactly what he was on Sunday. I don't think he was a huge problem. I don't think he was very good either. Not a game to write home about. A bad pick deep in your own zone.
Yep.
That'll hurt you. But he wasn't like embarrassing or awful or any of those things. He was fine.
Grandy's grades coming up later in the program.
Oh, that's right. We get to do that.
We'll get a chance to Grandy's professional look at it. A guy who does the overtime show and the pregame show at times here. He does the football hour, not the pregame show, the football hour. Grandy's a guy tough with the grades now. And so I wonder what he'll give Brock Purdy for his two turnover performance.
Well, I'm glad we do that on Tuesday, because it's kind of like a cooling off period.
Totally.
It's very similar to what the league gives the players. You don't let the media into the locker room right away, because everybody needs a cooling off period. So does Grandy. Can't do this on a Monday. Everybody would get an F. So we wait till Tuesday, take a breath, and let's see what we got.
And Grandy, I want you to feel free to change your grades from when you initially issue them to when you deliver them on the air. Because I know your grades come out within an hour normally after the game. I see that graphic come out, Grandy's grades. But maybe upon reflection and further review, you might have a different opinion when you watch the film a couple more times. So I want you to feel free to alter your grades as you see fit.
Maybe from film, but not based on what you guys say, that's for sure.
Okay.
He's just bitter. 0-2 in fantasy. That's bitterness right there.
Oh, Baldy wasn't done with Brock, by the way.
Oh, give me more.
Here's more.
Kind of staring some receivers down. I think he is locked in on some guys, and he's kind of probably waiting too long for things to open up. And some of that is, Ayuk wasn't there at all during training camp in the offseason. Kind of waiting on some things to happen, and you could be found guilty of that sometimes.
Okay, so he said he's staring some receivers down and maybe waiting a little bit too long. You know, we like whenever there's that, you were giving the sacks stat, and whenever you do that, the offensive line. Well, some sacks are quarterback's fault.
Yeah.
Like often, in fact.
Yeah, and I do think that the one pick that he threw was exactly what Baldy's saying.
Agreed.
Staring down the receiver. He stared down Juszczyk. He saw him open, and he waited too long, and that ball was late coming out, and that's why the ball got intercepted. And I think that his praise of Brian Flores, while part of me, it kind of cringes at him praising the opposing defensive coordinator, it's classy, and he's not wrong when he says, oh, your scheme, man, your scheme was great. But part of me is like, you don't need to compliment the opposing defensive coordinator on his scheme when you just went out there and lost a game, but it was clear that that was a factor, that the Brian Flores defensive scheme confused Brock Purdy a little bit.
Shades of Draymond Green hugging LeBron James. You don't like that stuff.
Shades.
I don't really understand that. That's just me. I think
you don't understand why I don't like that.
Well, I think we want gladiators on the field to act like it 24/7, and they're not. The game ends. They're people. They respect one another. They do the same thing for a living. They're competing with one another. And they go pray at midfield together. They're glad that they're all healthy. And if someone did a good job, you let them know. Like, it's not, you don't need to be mad at each other for the rest of your lives because someone's on the other team.
It doesn't really, really bother me.
I know
it
doesn't.
A little bit.
Like, what's wrong with it?
It's a little annoying. It just, like, here's an idea.
What if they had won?
Then it's different. Then you can go ahead and praise him because you won.
Yeah.
You won the damn game.
But like,
so then you can say, hey, your scheme was good.
I like your scheme.
But we still beat you.
And what's the other guy supposed to say? Because he lost.
He'll say,
get out of here, jerk.
No, thanks. I like my scheme too. You made some plays. You beat us.
Oh, no, don't say that. You can't say good things to the opponent.
You can't say when you throw a pick and you fumble and you lose to Minnesota again and you haven't won there in more than 3 decades and you say, oh boy, that scheme of yours. I got scheme envy.
I think you can. He did.
You could do whatever you want. He's allowed to.
It's not against the rules.
It's a sign of weakness.
No, it's not.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,